In Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. Again, we're doing the communion service today. If you've not received the elements, they are out in the lobby there where you could pick them up and bring them in. Please hold those and wait until I direct you in taking of the elements. Exodus chapter 12. Would you stand as we read God's word? And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak you unto the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat of it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both men and beasts, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the day you've given to us and the opportunity that we have to be in your house. Thank you for the messages we've had through song and through word and through reading of scripture. And Father, just thank you for the Sunday school hour that we had before. And now I pray that you would bless me as I present this message, that it might be your message and not mine. Holy Spirit might have the freedom to speak through me. You would remove anything that ought not to be there, and I might be a clean vessel before you. I pray, Father, that the words might be clear, the Holy Spirit might explain them to the hearts of people, and if there's someone here that does not know you as Savior, they would come to know you. As Christians, we might be drawn closer to you as we remember the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless those traveling the highways, keep them safe, be with your word wherever it is proclaimed today. May our fellowship, may our worship be acceptable and sweet in your sight. Again, forgive us when we failed you. We pray for our nation. We pray for the world. We pray, Father, for the situation in Ukraine. And Father, we pray that your name might be proclaimed throughout the land and that people might come to know Jesus. We ask this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. In the passage of scripture that I read to you, if you know anything about the background at all, and if you don't, you can always check it out sometime later. But I think most of you, if you've been in Sunday school and church, know where we're at and what's happening. The children of Israel are in the land of Egypt. They've been in bondage there for many years, and God is about to lead them out. There has been a series of 10 plagues that have taken place, or 9, and the 10th is coming. In these plagues, there were many Egyptian gods that they worshipped and served. Every plague attacked at least one of those gods. In many cases, the plague that God brought would actually attack more than one god because they had gods that represented many things. It's too lengthy and there's no point in sharing with you who those gods were, etc., that they served. but they had gods that they believed were gods of creation, gods of fertility, gods of the water, gods of the land, gods of life. You could go on and on that they had. They had gods for everything. They had gods that they believed ruled the sun, ruled the moon, ruled the darkness, ruled the night, etc. All of those were attacked, if you would, by the plagues that God brought upon them. And like I said, some of those gods stood for multiple things. What you have coming now is the very last plague. Pharaoh has hardened his heart. He's agreed a time or two to let them go with stipulations. But now he is saying, nope, no way, get out of here, don't ever come back and see me again. And Moses said, don't worry, I'm not going to. God was about to bring his last plague on the land. As he gives instructions to Moses, one thing that he does, he changes the timetable for Israel. And that is the beginning of the year before this was mid-September through October, Tishri, if you would. God is now changing and saying, this is the beginning of time for you, years, and it is Nisan, which is, if you would, in mid-April or March, April. And so God is saying there's going to be a new accounting for the year because we're going to start over as a nation, if you would. You'll remember that whenever the children of Israel came into Egypt, they were a family. Remember, Joseph was there. He brought his family in. Now they're going out as a nation. They're going out as God's chosen people that he has given a promise to and that he's leading out to the promised land. And so they're going to date from this time forward in this month when over the Passover took place. I think it's indicative for us to understand as we think of Christianity today, how is our calendar dated today? It is dated B.C. and A.D., literally after the birth of Jesus Christ. So the Passover started a new beginning for them. The resurrection of Christ or the birth of Christ brings a new beginning for us, if you would. The instructions are given to Moses for what he is to do. He is to take, telling the people to take a lamb for every household. And if the lamb is too much for the household, then they need to bring a second household alone. This is not just a pleasurable meal. This is a meal of sacrifice. It is a meal to acknowledge their sin and the slavery that took place in Egypt. It is a meal that is not necessarily to be enjoyed. It is to be endured as they remember the sacrifice, if you would. So, theologians, historians, various people tell us that a lamb would probably typically feed 10 people, might go 10 to 20, depending on the eating of the household. You see in the reading here, it says, according to the eating of every man, let them take the lamb. And if the lamb is too much for that household, bring a second one in. There's that element of fellowship. This lamb was to be a male of the first year, under a year old. It was to be without blemish. Because you understand that what God was requiring was a blood sacrifice, but an innocent blood sacrifice for the people. And it could not have bruise or blemish. You are to take it from the sheep and the goats, because the word is interchangeable in the Hebrew, if you would, of sheep or goats. You can take it from the sheep or goats, and you pin it up until the 14th day. Remember, they're starting on the 10th day. On the 14th day, you pin it up. So for 4 days, the lamb is pinned up. Why is the lamb pinned up? It is pinned up to make sure there's no blemish occurs on it, to make sure that it is not sick, to make sure that it is that innocent sacrifice that they would need. Some theologians believe that literally the lamb was taken from the flock and brought into the house and lived with the family for 4 days. I can't attest that that is true, but it makes sense. And the reason would be, if it's kept in the house, they would be protecting it. They would be watching over it. They would be making sure that it did not get injured, but also they would be building a bond with that lamb. There is a bond with that lamb, and whenever they kill that lamb, it is like almost a part of their family. You see, Jesus wants to build a bond with us. He wants us to know Him, and He wants us to fellowship with Him. When you look at Jesus' life, His life was not watched for just 4 days, but He was watched for like 33 and a half years. And then as He went into His ministry and the miracles, getting ready for His death, for something like 3 to 3.5 years, His life was closely examined as He built fellowship with His disciples and other people, but there was no spot or no blemish, no sin was found in Him whatsoever. You also look and see that as Jesus, that last week of His ministry before He was crucified, as He came in and out of Jerusalem, He was closely examined all of that time. And so He was closely watched. What an example that the Paschal Lamb has of our coming Messiah for us as Christians. It's also believed by some people that Jesus entered Jerusalem on the day the Paschal Lamb was shut up. Because you know that Jesus died during Passover. It was in the Passover meal that the Lord's Supper came out of. And so some people believe that Jesus possibly entered at that time to coming in as on that fourth day, if you would. Notice the Bible says, under Moses' instructions, if you read it, that the entire congregation is to kill it in the evening. The entire congregation. Everyone was supposed to kill their lamb, basically, at the same time. They were to kill their lamb publicly. Remember when Jesus died? There was the assembly of people around Him, right? You remember that when He died on the cross, that they crucified Him in public so He could be seen by everybody. They crucified it. That's a strange terminology, is it not? Because how many lambs were they going to slay? We were told that there were at least 650,000 people or so that were going to be leaving Egypt. How many lambs does it take care of, and how many households would there be? And yet it says, you kill it in the evening. That's not an it, that's kill them in the evening. And I may be making too much of it, but I don't think so. What was Jesus a picture of? What were they looking forward to? They were looking forward to, even though they did not totally understand it at that time, the day that He was going to die on the cross as our Paschal Lamb. There are not many lambs for you and I as a Christian. Well, each family doesn't slaughter one for 10 or 20 people to a house. It is Jesus Christ, the one who died for us and was buried and rose again. Notice that they were to kill the lamb, but they were to take the blood. The blood was to be taken, and with a hyssop, which was a type of plant. And if you remember by reading scripture, when Jesus was crucified on the cross, they handed Him vinegar mixed with wine. And how did they do it? On a pole with hyssop. A hyssop was like a paintbrush for them. And so the blood was to be taken, painted on the door post and the side as well, all around, but not on the threshold, if you would. No blood was to go on the threshold, just on the sides and the top. In a way, and I know it's not exactly a cross as we see it today, but in a way, a cross was being painted with the post coming down and the post above, a little different than what we think of, but I think it's a picture of the cross for us. But why was there no blood put on the threshold? Remember, the blood was to protect them, and the angel of death was not to get in. Hebrews 10:29 says, "How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace?" You don't walk on the blood. You don't do it spiritually, and you don't do it physically. So they did not put it on the threshold, if you would. Notice what it says, that the blood was to be applied, then they were to eat the lamb, and they were to eat it inside the house. They were not to ever go outside of the house until God called them out to go on their trip to the promised land. As long as they were in the house, they were under the protection of the blood. To go outside, they would die, and they would be away from grace and the redemption of God Himself. It is a picture to us as Christians that we are under the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood has been applied to us and to our sin. The blood has touched our heart, if you would, in a symbolic way. The blood of Christ that has cleansed us. The lamb was to be eaten, roasted, and with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Part of that was the picture, I think, of the bitterness of slavery. They had had a rough time in Egypt, and they were remembering them. I think also their march was going to be somewhat bitter. But I think they also needed to understand how terrible sin is. And so therefore the flesh was to be roasted. Unleavened bread, it would not have yeast in it. If you read in the New Testament, it tells us that yeast or leaven is a picture of sin. So all sin was to be removed in the symbolic sense in that. And so it was to be unleavened bread. Again, it was not meant to be enjoyed. It wasn't a flavorful meal. The roasted lamb with bitter herbs and all of the other things that they were doing, this was in anticipation of the Passover and what was coming. The lamb was not to be eaten raw. It was not to be boiled. It did not have anything added to it. It was roasted with fire. I believe that is a picture for us that Jesus needed nothing added to Him. His grace is sufficient. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ with the addition of nothing else. And I believe it pictured that. It was to be roasted with fire. It was to go through the fire. Fire is a picture of judgment. It's a picture of the cleansing away of sin. It's a picture that this lamb was given for them as a sacrifice in one sense, but this was not a sacrifice that was offered on the altar that they would walk away from. This is a sacrifice that they would eat. It was to be roasted with its legs. The interpretation here seems to be that this lamb was roasted whole. It was not divided up. The legs were not taken off of it, but the animal roasted whole. If you've ever seen a pit and a pig or something like that, or a pig in a pit, you know how it happens when they cook them and eat them whole. This animal was to be roasted with fire and apparently eaten whole. And remember what the scripture says about Jesus? Not one bone of Him was broken. This Passover lamb was a picture of our coming Passover lamb that we would have. He also was to be cooked with the pertinence inside, or in other words, the intestines and the entrails and so forth cooked inside. Now, why is that? What is the point of all of that? Well, many of the pagan gods used the insides, the intestines, the entrails and so forth for divination and that kind of thing. And so they would use them to divine with. And I believe that God was saying, I am attacking. And if you read in this passage where I read it a while ago, God was doing what? Putting down every one of the Egyptian gods. Nothing is left. They don't have any power. And so therefore, He was going to take this away so that they could not be used in any way. It was to go through the fire of judgment. And of course, they did not eat the blood. The blood was put on the doorpost. And the side, and overhead. Notice that it says nothing was to remain until morning. And if anything is left over, you're not supposed to save anything till morning. But if you're just eating and you've come in there and you just say, I can't eat another bite, so there's a little bit of this thing left over, or whatever was left over of the carcass or whatever, what did they do? They burned it with fire. Why? I think because the picture of the lamb is complete for what it was to do. The picture of the sacrifice of Jesus is complete for what he needed to do. There's nothing left over. Remember what happened when God gave them manna? He told them just to gather enough for one day until the Sabbath day came. You're to trust God. You're to have faith in God for the future. He is enough. And you don't need to try to save something. You don't need to try to add to it. But the other part of that is, what happens to stuff that's left over, especially when you're going to be on a wilderness march? It begins to putrefy. And this is not a picture of any salvation experience. Remember when Jesus was buried, he rose again on what? The third day. His body did not see corruption, the Bible says. So there was a reason for this. Notice again, you don't save something for later. I'll take a little salvation now and I'll take a little salvation later. No, he is complete. He is enough. The one sacrifice is all we need. And we are to depend upon him for our daily bread. Christ is sufficient now. We trust him day by day for the future, if you would. Christ accomplished and completed the sacrifice, and we don't need anything else added to it. But I think there's also another picture of that. We must take all of Christ. You see, whenever we accept Jesus, we like to accept the rose garden theory, don't we? I'm going to trust Jesus and everything's going to come up roses. No trouble. He's going to bless me. We take him with the good and with the bad. We take the crown and we take the thorns. Because he tells us that anybody who serves him is going to suffer affliction. How did they eat this meal? When the Israelites ate, they generally ate very leisurely. They would recline and lay back and take their time and eat their meal. In a typical Jewish home that you would go into at that time, you would find that the people inside did not wear shoes in the house. They took them off. They had a walking staff that they walked with a lot of times. That staff would be by the door, left there, not used, inside the house. You would come in and see all of this, and when they ate in a leisurely fashion. But the command here is, gird on your clothes, put on your clothes. Be fully clothed and ready to go. Have your staff in your hand. Have your shoes on your feet. They were to be have faith that they would be delivered very quickly. And they needed to be ready to go at a moment's notice. That's kind of a strange way to eat, isn't it? How would you like it if you came to somebody's house and you sat around the table and they're sitting there with all their coats and clothes on ready to go and their staff in their hand, their shoes on their feet, and rushing through the meal? Hurry up, let's get done with this, let's go. Because they never knew when they were going to get called out. It was the night of the Lord's Passover, and after the angel of death came and did his thing, they were to go on their road. That reminds me that you and I are to be ever waiting. What does the Bible tell us? You know, we talk a lot of times, well, I wonder if Jesus will come tomorrow. I wonder if Jesus will come next week. How about 1,000 years from now? You know, he's closer than it's ever been. I think it's probably about time. You ever think about that? But do you realize we're supposed to be ready for him to come at any moment? We're to have our clothes on, our shoes on, our staff in our hand, and we should be ready for the picture of him appearing. The Bible says that God was going to pass through that night and smite all the firstborn, man and beast, and execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. Why was all this happening? Because the angel of death was coming to town. And the angel of death was going to take the firstborn of every family and all cattle, regardless. Egyptians, Jews, the whole lot are gone. Except for those covered by the blood. And the Israelites had the right to be covered by the blood. You step out of your house, you're in trouble. We step out of the grace of God, we're in trouble. They were to stay inside. The Egyptians could have been spared had they trusted God. They chose not to. So God said, I'm going to execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt. Now, I said to you a while ago there had been 9 plagues, and this is the 10th. What is the significance of the 10th? Well, the 10th is it takes the life of the firstborn. But do you remember what I said about the gods? They supposedly were sun gods and rain gods and fertility gods and whatever. Who is the ultimate god in Egypt? Pharaoh. When God destroyed life, even in the palace of Pharaoh, he executed judgment against all the gods of the Egyptians. He showed his superior power, and it got their attention. No wonder they came running and said, get out of here, leave. They told Pharaoh, let them go. And when the Israelites said, we need some clothes and we need some gold and we need some goods, they said, whatever you want, take it. Just get out of here. Because your God basically is so far superior to any gods we have that if he's going to start killing the firstborn, he'll kill the rest of us. Get out of here. The blood was a token. And he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Can you imagine what it must have been like that night with the death angel flying through the camp? People dying, the screaming and the hollering that was taking place because in every house there was death. And the animals dying. And here you are. But they were inside and the angel of death passed over, saw the blood. God's judgment will pass over us when he sees the blood. And then they were told, this is a memorial for you to keep every year. From here on out, for 7 days after the Passover, you are to eat unleavened bread. There is no yeast to be found in your house because that's a picture of sin. You understand when we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we're supposed to get the sin out and keep it out. Now, we're all imperfect. We all make mistakes. But we are to work perpetually to try to keep the sin out. And it said, to do it for a memorial forever. What did Jesus say in the Lord's Supper? As often as you do this. He didn't say weekly. He didn't say monthly. He didn't say daily. He didn't say yearly. He didn't say every 5 years. What he said was, as often, whenever you choose to do this, but you are to do it in remembrance of me. It's an everlasting memorial. There's another thing that's significant there, and it is a foreigner and a hired servant could not partake. Those who may have been proselyted and had been circumcised and come into the fellowship of the Israelites could. But those who had not could not. That's why we say today in the Lord's Supper, only those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior and had the blood applied are able to partake. In verse 29 of John chapter 1, it says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's identified as the Lamb of God. 1 Corinthians 5:6-8, your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little leaven, little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast so you may have a new unleavened batch, as you really are, for Christ our Passover Lamb has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old bread leavened with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and the truth. In 1 Peter 1:18-20, For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of the life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. The Passover was the beginning of a new nation. The Lord's Supper, if you would, is the beginning of a new people, a new covenant that we have. The Lord's Supper came out of the Passover. Jesus was observing the Passover meal. As he observed that Passover meal, and there are different speculations about that. Some people believe that there were different times that the Jews were celebrating the Passover and so forth. Some people believe that Jesus actually celebrated the night before, but actually was crucified at the time the Paschal Lamb was sacrificed. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but I know that coming out of the Passover, that meal, Jesus is sitting there eating that Passover meal, and with his disciples then, he institutes the Lord's Supper. He starts something for Christians out of a Jewish tradition that was there. More than a Jewish tradition, it was a Jewish commandment that God had given, that they came out of the bondage of Egypt, and we are delivered from the bondage of sin through Jesus Christ, our Passover Lamb. If you would get your elements ready, Jesus came together with the disciples. We've got the little individual packets. That's different than we used to do it, but because of all of the things today with diseases and everything, we do it a little different. In front of me, I have something that might look a little bit more like what Jesus would have had. And Jesus took some bread, and they'd been eating, and he broke it. And he broke off a piece, and I don't know exactly how he did it, but he probably said, "Here's one for you, Simon, and here's one for you, John." And or it just simply may have been that he broke a bunch of pieces and passed it in a basket. I don't know. But he said, as he took it, "And if you would, make ready your bread." He took the bread and he said, "This is my body, which was given for you." Now, obviously, he didn't mean this is his physical body. It means that this is symbolic of his body. This is a picture. Remember, they're in the Passover Supper. It's not like Jesus out of nowhere said, "Hey, take some bread and wine and let's figure out what we're doing." They knew exactly what they were doing. They were eating the Passover meal of the lamb that was slain. And they picturing their exodus. And Jesus is now telling them, "I'm going to be dying for you." He's already told them several times. They really haven't paid attention. "This is my body, which was given for you." So he blessed it, he broke it, and let's bless the bread. Father, thank you for the bread. We know that it never becomes the body of Christ. We know that this bread is not holy in itself. We know that it is symbolic. But we thank you for the meaning behind it in the Passover and for the meaning that it means to us in our Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now bless this to our body as we partake. May we examine ourselves and make sure that we are under the blood, that the sacrifice of Christ has been given for us and we have accepted it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. "This is my body, which was broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Jesus took the cup. It might have been something like this cup or even larger. Because as we understand it, he took the cup and he passed it to his disciples. They all drank out of that. For obvious reasons, we don't do that. We have our individual cups. He took that cup, shared with them that that was a picture of his blood, which was shed, much like that Passover lamb, and he blessed it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the cup. for the fruit of the vine, for what it means. Thank you for the picture of the blood of Christ that was shed, that we might have eternal life. Again, we know this is not the blood. It is a picture, a symbol. And thank you for the picture out of the Old Testament of the Passover so that we could see, Father. I pray that you'll bless as we partake of this. We'll examine our hearts. We will live for you. And we will remove the leaven of sin out of our life and trust in you and you alone. Bless us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus took that cup, said it was a picture of his blood, reminding them he was going to give the blood for them. And when they saw that, they knew. They knew the blood had been put on the doorpost sides. And maybe there was some kind of comprehension that, hey, the blood of Jesus is being applied. Maybe they didn't quite all get it then, but they got it later after the resurrection. But this is my blood. And remember, in Egypt, those under the blood were spared. They had redemption. They were saved. But if you're not under the blood, there is no remission for sin. Jesus came to cover us with his blood. He said that we were to remember this is the blood that was given for him. Drink ye all of it. One of the significant things that we think about, or I think about, is what we said earlier. Remember what they said? Don't leave any of it till morning. Even with the elements that we have, we don't take this and use this for other purposes. We come in, normally we come in and have those little squares and the little cup. That's it. It's not used for any other purpose but to use it at that time. We don't take part of that cup home or part of that bread home. It was complete and reminded us of the completeness of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. If our musicians will come, we're going to have a verse of invitation. The Bible says that after the Passover meal and the Lord's Supper, that the disciples sang a hymn and went out into the Mount of Olives. We're going to sing a hymn, but we're going to sing an invitational hymn. And the altar is open for you. You can do business with God at your seat, or you can come to the altar, or you can talk to me. But the point is that Jesus died for you. He is our Passover lamb. His blood can be applied to your heart, to the altar of God, for the forgiveness of your sin. And if you don't know him, there's no better time than to do it now, as we're reminded. Would you stand as we sing?
I'd rather be his than every
Thank you for being here. Remember, business meeting is canceled tonight. We do have Bible study at 6. And please think about this service as you leave today, the Passover as well as the Lord's Supper and the significance for us today. Chet, would you dismiss us, please?